Okay, so we're on Daf Brachos, Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, the Mishnah. So for the first time, really, we're going to expand our learning of Brachos, Berachos Hananin, beyond the individual Brachos to the principles of Brachos. So the Mishnah says, Heviu lefanav maliach, Bitchila, okay, if they brought to him, maliach is something salted, and it's usually salted fish, because that's how they would process the fish, and quite frankly, we're very familiar with maliach. It would be equivalent to a herring, okay, a very salty piece of herring. Now, I know already my wife's grandfather said many, many years ago that the herring doesn't taste the way it used to, meaning 60 years ago in Manhattan, because the water is not as good. And by the way, he knew what he was talking about. It seems to be that that's true.
It's also more preservatives are put in today.
Whatever, but at the time of the Gemara, I'm sure maliach was even saltier. So something very salty, but it was the equivalent of herring. And of course, before refrigeration, you know, that was a key to keeping things preserved. So again, heviu lefanav maliach bitchila. Bitchila, the Bach adds the bays.
Uh-huh.
I mean, at first, v'pas imo.
Uh-huh.
And he has a piece of bread with it. Now, we know that pas is the most, has the most chashuv of brachos, hamotzi, right? But nevertheless, you still have a very interesting halacha here. Let's just see what the Mishnah says. Mevarech al hamaliach v'poter es hapas shahapas tefela lo. So you make the bracha, you're going to make a shahakol on the herring, and not only will the shahakol, of course, pater the herring, what else would the shahakol pater?
The bread.
The bread, which is the biggest of chidushim. The Mishnah could have used other examples, but it wanted to use the example of pas, that even pas, which is the most chashuv, can be potter al yidei another bracha, and even the bracha of shahakol.
So that's not so much of a
fetish,
though, is it?
I don't know. If I would have asked you, pas without making a motzi, what would you have said?
If you look at it that way, yes. But we know that if you don't know what bracha to make, you always make a shahako.
So that's bidiyevit. You know, that's only bidiyevit. Here we're talking about the chatchila.
But we know that it potters it, right? That it works.
Again, it's only bidiyevit. The Mishnah is telling you halacha. And not only that, now the Mishnah is going to the Mishnah is going to formulate a principle now based on it. It has nothing to do with shahakol being motzi b'dieved or not knowing what bracha to make.
I still have maybe I'm being a stickler here, but it says, if you look at it just in Lashon, heviu lefanav maliach techila.
Bitchila. The Bach was in
bitchila,
right?
At first, bitchila I read as at first, they brought him maliach.
Right.
Okay. Upas imo, and bread with it.
Right.
Wait a second. If you're bringing me something b'tchila, how can you say that you're bringing something b'tchila, but also you're bringing something with it? Either you're bringing it with it, which
so
would require a question.
So
of
that's then. It's a good diyuk, okay? And hold it. Hold the thought for a minute. Let's just read the principle, and then based on what you're saying, we will in fact learn out something from that. It happens to be a valid diyuk. So what does the Mishnah say? This halacha in the Mishnah is not unique to the case of herring and pas. Rather, zeha klal kol shahu ikar ve'imo tefela mevarach al ha'ikar ve'poter es ha'tefela. So we formulate a principle. You know, if we can define, it's not always pashut. Here it's pashut. You're having a piece of herring. Okay, you're having a piece of herring. And again, because it's so salty, you can't have the herring without, I guess, a base would be the right thing. You need something else.
Right.
You need the pas, but the only reason that you're eating the pas is because of the saltiness of the herring.
Well,
so what's the ikar here? Why is the maliach called the ikar here?
It's the dominant flavor.
That's what you want to eat.
It's the dominant flavor?
It's
because that's what you want to eat. That is what you want to. That's what you want to eat at this point, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if that's what you want to eat, then that becomes the ikar. And again, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that it becomes the ikar even when the tafel is something like pas. Okay, and that's already quite a chiddush, right? Now, just as a side point, the Mishnah says, hey, viu lefanav. This just tells you also a general halacha of Birchas Hanenin. And again, tonight for the first time, we're dealing with multiple foods with different brachos. Which bracha, not only do you say first, but in our particular case, which bracha is not only going to be said first, but will in fact be motzi all the different foods. We know there's a lot of halachas about the kedima, the precedence of one bracha over another. So what triggers the chiyuv to say a bracha, Birchas Hanenin? Heviu lefanav. Right? Once it's before you, then it triggers the chiyuv of bracha. Because once, I remember it was discussed on a Friday night, I think on Friday night, the Rav discussed it here. You come to the smorgasbord, right?
Right.
So my gosh, you have a whole array of things, and quite frankly, usually a mezonos is on that too. How can anybody make any kind of a bracha other than mezonos first? But the argument could be made that when you walk up to a smorgasbord table, that's not lefanov, that's not heviu lefanov. You know, it's not like when a waiter or a servant comes over and gives something to you. What would you say defines heviu lefanov, which in turn triggers the chi of Birchas Hanenin?
They set it down in front of him, which means that...
But at a smorgasbord, nobody's setting it down. So
right.
What's the equivalent of heviu lefanov? It's lamaita for us all the time.
It's
what?
You take it, it's on your
there
plate.
You go.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So in other words, the heviu lefanov, you create the heviu lefanov. You take your plate, and I take some crackers, I take a gefilte fish, and I take some vegetables, okay? At that point, it's heviu lefanov.
Right.
And now I have to decide the kedima of brachos. So that's a parenthetical thing that you see here in the Mishnah of heviu lefanov.
Always go for the spare ribs first.
So that's okay. That's always the ikar, you know. Well, that's what we're going to see. It's a later. So now, if you have spare ribs, you don't make any other brachos.
That's it.
Could be. I have a son-in-law like that also.
Right.
To him, it's not. He doesn't even have a tail.
Oh, you have a son-in-law who's a professional shmor guy.
No, he just eats meat. That's
all.
Okay.
There's no
ikar in tafel. There's only an ikar, nothing else. He doesn't eat anything else. Okay.
We won't let him hear.
All right. Okay.
Make sure you
The Rashi, of course, in Maliach just says kol dover maluach. You know, we refer to herring because it's something we can relate to. But obviously, the point here is you're eating something very salty, and you need the bread just to counteract, you know, the saltiness.
So, I mean, let's see, in the same vein, like you order a hummus platter.
Okay.
Comes with pizza.
Okay, so whole yeah. Well, why you? So hold, both of you, hold on for another few minutes. Let's just—we have to learn a few other things, and all of these questions are going to be very relevant. How do you define ikar? That's what we have to understand. So I just want to read to you. All right, maybe I'm jumping the gun. Okay, let me read to you the. No, you know what? I'm sorry. We have to do another Gemara first before I read to you the Perush Mishnayos the Rambam. Turn to Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. Okay, at the two dots, about four lines down, the Gemara deals with a situation also where you have multiple foods in front of you. So we're not interested in getting into the whole Shakla Vitaria here. But let's just start from Meisivei, which is about nine lines from the top. Meisivei, hayu lefanav snon v'zayis. So what do you have? You have a radish, and you have an olive. What are the brachos? Snon, you'd make a bori priya dama, right? Zayis, you'd make a bori priya eis. So what's the halacha? Mevorach al hatznon v'poter es hazayir. So, you know, you might say maybe that has something to do with Bore, the relationship of Bore Pri Adam and Bore Pri Ha'etz. The Gemara says, no, it has nothing to do with that. You know why you're making the bracha on the tznon first? And not only first, but why you're only making the bracha on the tznon and you're pater the zayas with that. Hacha b'mayaskinan keshatznon ikar. Meaning that you're, and you know, my, I don't know, my tastes are not so refined and with these different types of food especially, but I guess you're coming to eat the tznon, and
well,
tznon, I guess...
Olives are, I think, very salty also, or they're very... It depends. A lot of, you know, pickling a lot, and probably in those days also, they probably pickled it a lot, so
could
the radish
be.
Is more, again, it's more of a base.
But you're eating the tznon first here. And not only that, the tznon is ikar. Here it says it's known as ikar.
Oh.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's known as ikar, so radishes is sharp, right? It's something sharp, would you say that? No?
It depends on the radish.
The schwarze reiter, and what do they call the other
one?
And reiter reiter. Okay, so it's a little sharp. So I don't know, the zayas, even though you're right, may in those days, I don't know if they pickle. I don't know. But they surely had it fresh off of the trees also. But maybe the zayas, obviously the case here is that the zayas is really being eaten for the tznon. The main reason you're eating these two things is because of the radish. And somehow the zayas, you know, neutralizes a little bit the sharp taste of the tznon. But again, what's important for us, we see that the Gemara assumes, you know why you're making a bracha just on tznon? Because it's the ikar. So ihachi ema seifa. Rabbi Yehuda omer varach al hazayas shazayas mimin shiva. Oh wait, but Rabbi Yehuda doesn't see this as ikar in tafel. He says there's another halacha we haven't learned this yet, that shivas haminim take precedence over non shivas haminim. So Rabbi Yehuda should make the bracha on the zayas. Zayas is one of the shivas haminim. Stone is not. So the Gemara. I'm sorry. Except for Maisik. Right, here we're talking about...
Maisik Dera comes before the Shiva.
Before the Shiva Saminim, right. Right. So I think usually Shiva Saminim in precedence is over other vegetables and fruits. Okay. So the Gemara just says, how can Rabbi Yehuda say that you make a bracha on the Zayas here, even though it's a tafel? Leslie, the Rabbi Yehuda, Hodesnan, and the Gemara quotes our Mishnah, Kol shehu ikar v'imay tefela mevarech ala ikar v'potas hatefela. All right, the Gemara goes on to show that even Rabbi Yehuda would not obviously disagree with the Mishnah. But what the reason I wanted to do this Gemara is, you see clearly from this Gemara that you have tznon and zayas are two things that are really not that related. Okay, and it's surely not a tafshil, that's a tarovis that's mixed together. So right,
herring and bread is not either. So
correct.
So how do you make a comparison to that? I mean, you're saying that the radish is the ikor, so then you're saying eating bread to offset the taste of the herring.
Right.
So what's on you eat the radish ikor? You could be wanting you wanted to eat the herring. In this case, maybe you want to eat the olives. Maybe
no. So when we say tznon ikor, what does that mean? Tznon ikor.
Dominant.
Why is it dominant?
Because of the
taste. So it's like Murray said, why is it dominant? What does Rashi say? Okay, what does that mean?
So the
ikar means just like he wanted to eat the herring,
he wanted to
eat the tznon. That's what ikar is.
Yeah,
what determines, it's very subjective.
Subjective. He wanted to eat the olives.
That's not the case here. Ain't okay. If he wanted to eat the olives, then that bracha would govern. Okay, it's very subjective here. Okay, but what you see here is you do see it with the maliach and the pasul also. But here you see it even more clearly that ikar and tafel. And that's just the point that I wanted to make. Does not have to be where you have a mixture, a real mixture. You can even have two separate types of food.
They don't, are we saying that it's subjective on your desire?
Yeah,
your
interest. There you go. If you want to eat the, if your purpose is to eat the olives, then for you, snow just comes, you know, for other reasons.
Right.
Maybe it you know, pas doesn't enhance the maliach.
It mellows.
It mellows it. It neutralizes it. But the tafel can be there besides neutralizing. It could be there to enhance a flavor.
Right.
And that's what we'll talk about in a minute. We'll get to these other cases. What else can tafel be, legabe ikar?
Well, at what point do you say that you have to make two separate brachos?
Okay, well, when it's, if they're both ikar, for example.
If they're both ikar.
You follow? They don't relate?
You have to decide that it's both ikar.
It's very, exactly, it's very subjective. Okay?
So
that's
a...
Right, so then I'll sort of give a svara. What's the svara? So if I make a bracha on the tznon, so not only do I make the bracha on the tznon, I patter the zayas with it. So what's the svara of this? Why am I pattering the zayas? It's tafel. Or I'm even pattering the pas. It's tfela. Why? So it's what Arturo started to say. It's birchas handenin. Okay, it has to do... what drives your hana. So if this is what you desire, okay, so then you have to make the bracha on what you desire. The other thing is coming to enhance, it's coming to complement with an E what you really desire. So therefore the bracha goes on both of them, and patas even the tafel.
If you have it from the beginning in mind, both. You're going to have the radish added. You lobby like the same way, one or the other.
So that's
then,
not our...
Then it's the two brochas.
Then it's two... If they're both ikar.
You're asking, when do you make two brochas?
Okay, so they're both ikar. I'm not eating them to enhance. I mean, the typical, you know, you have, let's say, I mean, for us, obviously, the meat is usually, or the fish, is the main part of the meal. That's going to be the next thing we learn, by the way, suda. And then you have two side dishes. Okay, I don't know where this came from. Two side dishes.
The caterers.
So, you know, I think it's before the caterers too, right? You know, you have a starch, a carbohydrate, and then you have a vegetable or something. There's a balance. So again, it is subjective, but I think that each one is equal unto itself. You know, you can't, as opposed to, let's say, a stew. Okay, I'm jumping ahead already. You're pushing me. You see, let's say you have a stew. There's meat in there. Okay, but there's also some vegetables thrown in, right? So there you could argue that you make no bracha on the vegetables, a goulash. So there's some green, there's some green peppers. No. Say that there's just some green peppers thrown in the goulash. What's the ikar?
Nothing. The pepper is not sure.
No. So you could argue that you only make a shahako, and what's the tafel there?
What do you call it?
You're missing the main thing here.
It's called paprika.
Paprika, that's another issue.
You're missing the main thing here. Okay, here's the difference. If I have the paprika, if I have the green pepper in the stew of the goulash, it's very possible that I don't even make a bracha on it. It's only coming to enhance the taste of the whole stew. But if I have, I'm served a piece of meat,
so
and on a side, I'm served a vegetable, then it's more than enhancing the taste of the meat.
Right.
There it's also ikar. You see that's a good example of the difference. So in one case you would need two brachas. In the other case, probably one bracha is sufficient.
You just answered the question which I was going to ask when I walked in here.
You didn't even know what we're going to learn, though.
I didn't even know. It's interesting.
But you were going to ask it.
I
okay.
I have soup, it's soup and bean soup. And I like a lot of noodles.
That's
so. In that case, I have to make two brochas for mezoinos, and even though it's
a soup. So that's the thing, because you
like
you.
I like the noodles.
Or maybe only for noodles, because that's your ego.
No, both of them. I like the beans.
So I make
two brochas.
Because we eat both of it. It's hard for us to have a case, you know, where you know you really only want to eat one thing. But again. A little patience. Just let's do a few more bakoros here, and then we will talk about the different examples. Let me read to you the Rambam. So this is the Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos. If you want to turn quickly, it's Daf Nun Zayin. Happens to be Yeah, it goes with the all the way in the back. Daf Nun, not all the way in the back, but Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, Pesh Mishnayis L Rambam, page 112, opposite page 112. Yeah, keep going. Get to 112, and you'll be in business. So on the left-hand column on the Perek Shishi, almost to the last one on the left-hand column, Hevil Levon of Maliach B'Tchila. Okay, that's our. You have it there, Murray.
Yeah.
Moshe, you went too far, Murray. Murray, you went too far. Too far. Okay. By the way, whose girsa did the Rambam? You see, the Rambam has the Bach's girsa.
Yeah.
Okay. Hevil Levon of Maliach B'Tchila Upasim Mavarach Al Maliach. We've mentioned this in the past. The Bach did not change girsos usually based on manuscripts. The Bach changed girsos based on Seichel HaYashar. Okay? Any case, what does the Rambam say here in the Perush Mishnayis L'Rambam? Perush Ikar Hu HaShoresh. What is he saying? It's what does the word Shoresh mean? The root. This is the essence. Ikar means this is the important thing. By the way, of course, you know the Rambam wrote the Perush Mishnayis in Arabic, so we're just reading a translation. Even the diuk in the words, you know, so. The perush tfeila has, Rav Yosef Kapach, who lived in Yerushalayim until recently. Excuse me, he was a Yotzei Teiman. He was a Yemenite, tremendous scholar, and in Teiman, they used to learn. They learned in Arabic. They learned the perush. They followed the Rambam in everything in Teiman, and they used to learn the Perush Mishnayis L'Rambam in the original Arabic.
Wow.
So this was mamish. They were reading, they were learning the Rambam, the way Rambam wrote it. So this was translated, I'm almost sure, by Ibn Tibun. So in the Middle Ages, Ibn Tibun translated a lot of the Rambam's works, including the Perush Mishnayis. It was the only thing available for many centuries. It's, you know, the Ashkenazi scholars in Europe didn't know Arabic. So this opened up a lot of the Rambam's writings to them, these translations. But again, a lot of translations leave something to be desired. I'm not saying that. Who am I to say it? But, you know, people like Yosef Kapach, who they knew, again, the Rambam in the original Arabic, they said that, it left something to be desired. So Kapach has his own translation on the Perush Mishnayis L'Rambam. And you see a lot of very important changes. Girsos also...
from Arabic back to Lashon HaKodesh?
Yeah, Kapach has it from Arabic to Lashon HaKodesh. It's in Hebrew, right. And I'll tell you one other thing. The Rambam had two maduros, two editions. He wrote the Perush Mishnayis, the Rambam, the first time, I think, when he was 18 years old. And then, in the intervening years, it took him about 10 years to write the Mishnah Torah, which was written in Hebrew, the only thing he wrote in Hebrew. Okay? Why did he write that in Hebrew?
He wanted the Doros.
What Stephen is saying, because the Rambam wanted the Mishnah Torah to be Lidoros. What did he mean? Arabic was the Lashon. I mean, there were Jewish communities in the Arab land for 500-600 years. Okay? But he knew history. History is history. The Jews' destiny, unfortunately, is to go from one kingdom, from one empire to another. But one language that they would always take with them, hopefully, was Lashon HaKodesh. So that's why the Rambam wrote the Mishnah Torah in Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew. So in the intervening years, after the Madura Kama, the first edition, he wrote the Mishnah Torah, and then subsequently, at the end of his life, he went back and he wrote a Madura Basra, where he made changes. This Kapach translation of the Perush Mishnayis is based on the Madura Basra. What we have printed in our Gemaras is the Madura Kama.
Wow.
And this is what, you know, all the Rishonim and Achronim up until the 20th century basically had the Madura Kama.
Yeah.
So they had even Tibun's translation, the Madura Kama, and many times there seemed to be explicit discrepancies, stiras, between the Perush Mishnayis L'Rambam and what the Rambam wrote in the Mishnah Torah. And they try to resolve it. But many times we see, when we get to the Madura Basra, the Rambam changed things after he wrote the Mishnah Torah, and they were more easily resolved with the Mishnah Torah. Okay, so the Rambam says, V'perush tfeila hasmucha elav. Okay, interesting lashon. that it accompanies, you know, it's next to, it accompanies the ikar. The divrei zos ha-mishnah eina ela b'shomrei ganos sheim ochlim ha-peros b'sachlis mesikusam. Okay, people who eat very fresh fruits that are very, very sweet. Now, again, here, my palate is not sophisticated enough to appreciate this, but Arturi will help me. But since they eat such sweet, this is so sweet, the fruits, and the Gemara is going to say what the Rambam is saying now, he gets from the Gemara. U'bishvil kach osi machal maluach kedei lechatech halechus ha-mistapkos ha-nikbatzos ba-astumka. The astumka is part of the digestive system, I'm not sure which part, but it's so sweet from the fruit, okay, that now they need maliach to lechatech, to cut through the sweetness. So everything, all these tastes are coming one to counter and contrast the other. Ve'ef shalechal ha-maliach levado. Okay, the maliach is coming to counteract the masikus. And the maliach cannot be eaten alone. U'mepnei kach ochin aso belechem. And that's why you need the lechem. Ve'ein kavanasa machilas ha-lechem. But really, right, they have no kavanah to eat the lechem for it itself. Okay, so here the Rambam is saying that this maliach was eaten after they ate very sweet fruit. That's why they were eating the maliach. All right.
But he's also pointing out that the bread was just was really necessary to like kind of like mellow out that
for the
main
maliach, yeah. And that's why it's tefela.
Right.
They start with sweet.
Very, very sweet.
You're right. They eat a lot of.
That's why they have to bring.
Okay. Right. That's the sequence. Okay. Here I'm going to read you also one more definition about these tarovas here, and then we'll open up to. I know you're dying here to ask all these questions about the different types of things that we eat. So the Rambam says in Mishnah Torah this time in Hilchos Brachos Paragima Halacha Hey. Bamedvarim Amurim. Kishahoya Hamin Hazeh Chashuv Etzlo Vahalo Hayot Feila. He's talking about when you make a borimina mizonos in a taroves. Aval im hoyo echad mechamesha saminim she'irev. But even chamesha saminim, if they are only tfeila to the rest of the mixture, you will not make a mezonos on the chamesha saminim, but you'll make the bracha haruya for the ikar. Even chamesha saminim, and of course, where does the Rambam get that from? Our Mishnah said more than chamesha saminim. It said even pas is a tfeila, you will not make a bracha on the pas. So obviously, for chamesha saminim, you won't either. V'zeh klal b'brachos kol shehu ikar v'imo tfeila mevorech al ha'ikar v'potas ha'tfeila. And now the Rambam adds in to what our Mishnah said. This is not in our Mishnah. What does the Rambam say? Bein shehoisa ha'tfeila me'ureves im ha'ikar. In other words, the tfeila will not require a bracha if it's, whether it's mixed in, and that's easy for us to understand. If you have a mixture with the tefela, right? Then, of course, the tefela is coming to enhance the flavor of the ikar, and there's no bracha on the tefela. Well, I shouldn't say there's no bracha on the tefela. The bracha of the ikar will potter the tefela. Bein shelo hoysa me'urevet. Now, but this ray with the Rambam adds is very important. Even if it's not a mixture, and where does the Rambam get that from? Our Mishnah, pas and maliach, is not a mixture, and known and zayis is not a mixture.
Right.
It's not a mixture either. All
in
right,
fact,
so
they couldn't be more unalike. Because
could
bread,
be right, and they're distinct. They're nikar. So look, I think we can all agree. Case of the Mishnah, you see that the pas, you really have no kavanah to eat the pas. You have no desire to eat the pas. All right, you have no desire to eat the pas. What about in the case? All right, we had the goulash, I think, was a good example where you have a real tarovet. Now, it's not that that's not like the pas. The pas is not even enhancing any flavor. it's neutralizing, it's counteracting. But even, I don't know if it's an even, but similarly, when you have the green peppers in the goulash or the potatoes, potatoes don't have as much taste, the green peppers enhance the flavor of the meat. That's the point,
right?
It's a spice. Some spices are very small. Sure. The green pepper is coming to give taste. The onions, okay? Do you make a broth on the onions, okay? Even the onions in the cibola mit ayer. You have egg salad with onions.
Right.
On the eggs, you make a shahako. On the onions, you make a?
Adama.
Depends.
You make nothing.
Right.
You should make an adama.
Right.
But who?
Make the other way around. Make the cibola with egg salad.
Oh, that's that.
Yeah. Right.
You're right.
And those have to make on the
cibola. That is correct. That's you're right. Depends if it's iron mit cibola or cibola mit iron. That's right.
I'm telling you it's true.
You're right.
You knew what I was thinking about my family's dress of ribbon.
Okay, so the goulash, we all understand. But there's a lot more difficult situations, because I think today there's very few examples where we really are not interested in eating something else, a secondary thing. It's only there to enhance or neutralize. So I'll ask you, you get a fruit cocktail, the canned fruit cocktail, okay? Or the hostess serves a very nice cup with 5-6 different fruits. Now, usually if the fruits are all Borea Priya 8, there's no questions, all right? But sometimes you have melons in there. The melons are adama, and you've or pineapples adama, and then you've got peaches and apples, which are ha'eitz. So how would you look? So I'll ask you, a fruit cocktail that you open up in a can. We're all familiar with it. What bracha? And you have ha'eitz, and there's peaches in there, and there's pineapples in there. What bracha would you make? So like the best? Is that what tussel means? That I don't like the green peppers as much. It's not that I don't like them as much.
Yeah, but there's nothing tofu. They're all the same.
I agree with you. I think that argument could be made. That there is no... Everything is ikur there. I agree with you.
You make
two brachas.
Why do you make the common denominator?
So it's... Which is adama. Right. So, you know, Albie is asking a good question. In this specific case of a fruit cocktail... I usually have two brachas. I have adama and I have ha'eitz. And we learned, it was a Mishnah, that if you make a Borei Pri adama on a Borei Pri ha'eitz, you part of the eitz.
If you don't know,
so again, that's b'di eved. That is b'di eved. Okay? B'di eved ain't a chinami. So if you're not sure, you know, you are a pineapple person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The truth of the matter is you really want to eat pineapple. There's no pineapples in the cabinet. So you open up a can of fruit cocktail, right? That's what they call it. But you really want the pineapple, okay? So now you're not sure already. Is that my ikar? Do I really not want the other stuff at all? It's only enhancing the flavor? So you have a suffix. So if you have a suffix, you make an adama, and it's motzi everything. But lechatchila, if you can't just... If really you like the peaches in there, and you like the pineapples in there, how do you make two brachas?
Do you have to make a brocha eat a piece, and then don't eat a piece, or can you make it two brachas?
No. You make a brocha, then you eat.
You can't make the two brachas.
No. That's a hefsek. That's a hefsek.
That's
a hefsek. You make a Borei Pri.
The second brocha is a hefsek for the first.
Right. Second brocha is a hefsek for the first. Okay? All right. Can you think of some other examples? So you have, and here you started to ask about the pita, the hummus platter. So I make a little bit, so Albie's question is, you have the hummus platter and it's made very nicely, and they give you the pita. Why do they give you the pita? There's no utensils under, you know, you go into a real pita, a real hummus place, there's no forks and spoons.
Right.
Why are you given the pita? To scoop up the hummus.
Right.
So, if the argument can be made, I'm not eating the pita, I'm eating the hummus with all of these great ingredients in the hummus, right? Okay?
Right.
If that's really the case, here's another example where I would not have to make a bracha on the pita. But, you know, this is if you're really not interested in eating the pita. You're only interested in eating, or I'll give you an example. You're a peanut, you love peanut butter, okay? but you don't have a spoon. You only have these hard crackers. And if you're using only the cracker, or for dips, let's say for dips, they're very fancy dips, and you're only using a vegetable or something else to get the dip out, you would only make a bracha on the dip, not on the something else.
I know somebody who loves apples with peanut butter.
Okay.
Like their peanut butter, let's say a scoop of peanut butter on a plate.
But he likes both of them.
And he likes the apples, and he takes the apples, and that's the way he eats.
But he likes both of them.
He likes both of them.
Okay. So you have an ice cream cone. So sometimes the cone's tasteless. Why do they give you the cone? Just to hold the ice cream. So if it's one of these tasteless cones, and you hardly eat any of it, you don't make a bezonis on it. A sugar cone. But a sugar cone, which tastes good. No, but you got
to
make, or you have
the ice cream sandwich.
And I do it like that.
Ice cream sandwich too. Again,
the
cholera.
With a cone. I'm saying with a cone.
What?
How do you make
you take a little bite of the cone. It's not the hardest thing in the world.
You can
make a bracha beforehand too. It's not the worst thing in the world. Take a little bit from the bottom. If you really do not have in mind to eat the pizza and you're only using it for the chummas,
you go to the bottom of the cone, you make the hole.
Then you don't make a bracha on it. Would it be right to make a bracha here on the pasta of Malia? Okay.
The pizza comes.
Is it also to make a hamotzi on the pasta of Malia? I think yes. If in fact you're not interested in eating the pas or the pita, except that the pita is helping you scoop up the chomet, what? It's irrelevant with the maliach too, whatever you're eating.
Thing to do is just wash.
No, you're missing the point.
I hear you. No. You're saying that you're really not supposed to make a mice.
Of course
I think
not.
The pita is not a good example for one reason. Just think about it. When you take a piece of pizza and you put it in that thing, it does give a certain combined flavor needed.
Okay.
And if you really want just
but that's
food,
subjective.
You tell the guy.
But Arturo,
I've yet to see anybody eating just a lot of hummus with the spoon.
Oh, then you have never gone to the Middle East.
No,
okay.
I mean, you always eat it with the pizza because that's
when's the last time you were in Beirut?
Right.
Okay. Supposedly they put out an array of 15 different hummus, different types of hummus.
So
and the focus is on right. We don't we're not right. We're not mumchim on hummus.
Right.
Again, we're talking theory here. If the theory is you really are out for the hummus. I agree with you. In our situation you will usually eat the pita too.
This strawberry is different than chocolate. So the chocolate is
sure. So what's secret there?
If you're a chocoholic.
So, it's subjective. In fact, here's another question they talk about. This is a tough question. You have, Moshe, you have chocolate-covered almonds or raisins.
Okay.
What bracha do you make? Chocolate-covered pretzels?
Yeah, where have you been?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. So, again, it is subjective. It depends, what if you're a chocoholic,
right.
Okay, you don't care what's inside, you're... By the way, what bracha do you make on chocolate? What bracha? Why? Where does chocolate come from?
Bean
on a tree, no? So why are you making a shahako? We learned already many times that on applesauce, Prima.
You can't tell that it's real chocolate.
So you want to...
Because I think we had cocoa.
So a Hershey bar, you make it...
Because chocolate...
Look, I know
white.
The minhag is to say shahako,
real chocolate,
but you have...
Is white.
Is that true?
Yes, it's true. Real chocolate is white.
No, I think it's... You're saying it's the opposite.
I don't think it's real chocolate.
Okay, listen, Rabosai... We're only here to give you the print...
That's decolorized chocolate.
Decolorized?
Right.
Oh, you mean
the
albino.
Albino.
Okay, look, but the principles we have here is
so I have to go
it
back
is
to my wife when she has trouble.
Rabosai, let's end up here. We set down the principles, okay? It is very subjective with the Ikur V'Tafel. One other thing we had mentioned in earlier weeks and with this will end is the chult when you're not eating it in the middle of a Suda, okay? So, but we mentioned, you know, if that's a stew. Now, if people really eat the chulnt, I saw they write this, some people eat the chulnt for the barley, that's the ikur for them. Okay, I know it's not for me, but if that's the case, then if you have barley there and you've got potatoes, you've got meat, but the ikur for you is the barley, that's a mizonos. You would make only a mizonos on that.
On the whole chulnt,
because that's the ikur and the rest is tafel. I think, though, I know when I eat the chulnt, I like the different things in the chulnt. Okay, so again, it is very subjective in that situation.
Three,
do you have meat there too?
Meat.
If you're the eating,
and
right, and if you're a ribs man, who knows what they put in chult these days? So, okay, all right. But anyway, the halachas of ikur v'tafel are obviously very important, and what we're going to continue with this little bit of a background, we're now going to be able to think at least about. What is happening at a suda when I wash? What is this, some kind of magic formula? I wash and I make a motzi, and I don't have to make brachas
and
anymore.
I'm covered.
Okay, and that's it. Why?
Wow.
So, Yitzhak Hashem, we have a little
it's
bit
like
of...
It's like an umbrella.
You have to come back for that.
Okay.
Really, if you think about it, the bread is not...